So good to be with you. Such an honor to share God's word with you. Do me a favor, look to your left or right. Greet someone in the name of the Lord. Tell them that you are glad that they are here. Welcome them to the house of God. It'll buy me a moment to say welcome to all of those joining us in the online community. Grateful for you as well, from Kansas to Kenya and many places in between. People tuning in to worship Jesus with us today. Grateful for you. If you have your Bible with you, and church fam, I hope every week, one way or the other, you do. Would you turn or click to 1 Chronicles 14, we'll also be in Joshua 3 and 4 today, as I just kind of back up and resume our series Blueprint for Breakthrough. And I want to visit 1 Chronicles 14 to just show you that more than just a catchy sermon series title or sermon slogan, that this is part of the heart of God. It's one of the names of God, and it's one of the desires that God has for us, is when we're up against something that seems insurmountable or impossible, to know that He's the God that brings breakthrough. He's the God that brings deliverance. He's the God that can see us through seemingly impossible or insurmountable things. And so I have in my season, my heart rather, in this season, that this is more than just a sermon series. It's a word for us. It's a word from the Lord for us for this season, for this year, that there are some ways that God wants to show himself faithful to bring about breakthrough in our lives. And maybe for some of us, that's just God just seeing you through a difficult season. But I believe in this is more than just pastoral optimism. I really have a sense in my spirit, different and unique than maybe some previous seasons, that this is a moment in time where the Lord wants to bring some breakthroughs in some areas that maybe you've been praying for, hoping for, fasting for, believing for, longing for before the Lord. That this is a moment in time where some of those things that you've been praying, fasting, believing for, that God's going to bring about a breakthrough. And it's what we see happen in the life of David in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, reading in verse 8, it says, "Now then the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel. So all the Philistines went up to search for David. David heard of it and went out against them." So I want you to catch this. It says they heard that David had been anointed king, and so they went and chased after him. And I want to encourage you with something today, that a lot of the opposition and the challenges that we face in life are a result of the enemy's awareness of a plan, a purpose, a calling, a destiny, a hope-filled future, according to Jeremiah 29:11, that you have in Jesus Christ. And so it's what we see here. Because of the fact that David had been anointed, he's got some enemies that are pursuing him to try to hold him back or hinder him from stepping into the fullness of what God has for him. So in David's life, these are practical enemies. We no longer wrestle against flesh and blood, but there are spiritual forces that are aware of the things, the plans, the purposes, the destiny, the calling that God has for you, man of God, that God has for you, woman of God, daughter of the Lord, that he has for your marriage, that he has for your generation, young people. And so he is going to come to oppose, to resist, to track you down or chase you down, to try to get you to give up, to go home, to shrink back, or to hold back from pursuing all that God has in his heart for you. And it says David heard this and he got up and he went out against them. In other words, he wasn't going to play defense. He said, "I'm going to go on the offense." And I'm telling you today that you have the same invitation. When the enemy tries to come after you, you have been fitted with the armor of God and equipped with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to play offense, man of God, to go after the enemy when he's after your heart, your mind, your marriage, or your family. And so it says that the Philistines went and made this raid. And David inquired of the Lord. He inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And can I encourage you in this day, in this hour, this is a moment to be inquiring of the Lord. What is it that God's calling you to? What is he doing in your life? What is he stirring in your life? What is it that he has before you, the things that he's invited you to? What are the opportunities that he's presented to you? And can I encourage you that you're going to have a part to play? And we'll read about that here in a moment. But can I encourage you, one of the greatest things we could do in this day and hour is seek after God. Invite and involve the Lord into your circumstance, into your season, into your challenges, into your home, your marriage, and your family. And so can I just ask you today, with what you're up against, or what maybe is keeping you up at night, that you're meditating about, that you're worried about, that you're anxious about, are you inquiring of the Lord? And if you're not, this is your invitation to just go back to that place and begin to say, "Lord, I'm sorry that I've been trying to carry it on my own strength, that I've been trying to figure it all out in my own intellect, There's some things that I'll do. There's some things you'll call me to do, but I'm going back to just saying, Lord, I'm calling on you. I can't do, be, or become everything you've called me to do, be, and become without your Holy Spirit working in my life. And David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, go up. I'll deliver them into your hand. So they went up. Once they had a word from God, come on, nothing could stop them. They went up to Baal-perazim and David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand, like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim, which means Lord of the breakthroughs, Lord of the breakthroughs. And so I have in this season just this sense in my heart that there are some breakthroughs that God wants to bring into our life, because it's more than just a catchy slogan for a sermon series. It's the heart of God. He desires to see breakthrough in your life. He's still the God of breakthroughs. He's still the God of freedom. He's still the God of deliverance. And so we've been talking about blueprint for breakthrough in this series, and here's what that means. God is going to get the glory. God is the only one that's gonna bring the breakthrough, but there's a part that we have to play. There's a way that we can posture ourselves. There's a way that we position ourselves. There are some commitments that we can make. David said it right there. He said, by my hand, God got the breakthrough. God did this thing, but we partnered, and God is still in the business of divine partnership. When he wanted to bring about the sovereign divine plan of salvation, he partnered with the humble Jewish girl. When he wanted to write these 66 books that comprise your Bible, he partnered with people. He's still in the business of partnering with people. And so in this season, what is God calling you to put your hand to? David said, by my hand, God delivered a breakthrough to me. In this day, in this hour, what is it that God is inviting you to believe for, to trust for, to move forward towards, to inquire about? And to get up and step out in faith and trust that God is going to be the one that by your hand will bring about the breakthrough. Let's pray before we turn to Joshua chapter 3 and 4. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. And Lord, that is our prayer. Would you speak to us? Would you speak to your people, your precious sons and daughters, Lord, every man, every woman, every young person that's in this room, those joining us online, would you speak to people, Lord? Would you help them? Would you heal them, Lord? Would you comfort those who need to be comforted today, Lord? Would you equip? Would you strengthen? Would you empower by your Holy Spirit? Lord, every man of God, every daughter of the Lord today, God, thank you that you are still the God who is making a way where there seems to be no way. You are still the God, the Lord of breakthroughs, Lord. And people who are today, Lord, have been hoping for, longing for, praying for, trusting for, fasting for, Lord, in this season, in this day, in this hour, I thank you in advance for what you've spoken to my heart. This is a moment in time where you desire to bring about breakthroughs in the lives of your precious people. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, come on, with a shout, amen, amen. So now turn to Joshua chapter 3 and 4, and I want to take you to another place in the Bible where God's people had a part to play to position and posture themselves to step out in faith and obedience and to do their part so that God could do his part and bring about a breakthrough in a situation that seemed impossible. And so we read about it in Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 2. It says, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, which was the carrier of God's presence, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Amazing story, huh? And I wanna just back up now and just extract some scriptures from this passage and illustrate some points, some things that I believe we are going to have to embrace, we're gonna have to commit ourselves to, again, to posture, to position ourselves, to partner with God, to do our part, to give our hands, to take a step, and to position ourselves to see and experience what only God can do to bring about the breakthrough, to bring about the parting of the sea, to bring about the passing through the river on dry ground in a way that only God could do. So number one is, I've been encouraging us with this all throughout this series, that we're gonna have to be willing to embrace the new things that he's calling us to if we wanna experience the more that he has in store. And this is right here staring us in the face. It says, you've never been this way before. You're going to have to be willing to go somewhere, to do something that you've never done before, that you don't have experience in, that you're not gonna be comfortable with. It's gonna stretch you. It's gonna challenge you. It's gonna cause you and call you to have to trust and depend and lean upon God a little bit more. And how many of you know that God has a way of putting us in seasons and circumstances and places like that, that require us to lean in, to trust upon, to depend upon the Lord in a way that we've never been before? He says, you've never been this way before. Here's what I had stirring my spirit, is that some of you have never been this way before because you're going through a battle, an obstacle, an opposition, something you didn't expect, something you didn't think would be your season, your circumstance, your story at this stage of your life. And God says that he sees that season, that story, that chapter, and he's gonna lead you through. For some of us, it's maybe you've never been this way before because God is calling you to maybe take a step of faith, to step out and do something, to start a ministry or a business or to pursue a relationship or whatever it is, something that maybe is gonna challenge you or stretch you out of your comfort zone. Joshua said, you've never been this way before. We're gonna have to get up and be willing to go to some new places and do some different things. So all throughout the series, I've been saying it's easy to get people to say yes or amen whenever we say, do we need or want more of God in our lives? Come on, church people always say amen. But here's the way I've phrased it. To experience the more that God has in store, you are going to almost always have to say yes to the new that he's calling you to. And that's where the struggle lies, right? Are we gonna be willing to think different, to schedule differently, to prioritize differently? To make room for what God wants to do in our life, the more that he has in store. Jesus addresses it in Luke chapter 5, where he says, no one puts new wine in old wineskins. The new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine, ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. In other words, we get comfortable with the way things are, right? And we get complacent. And we get comfortable. We get enough of God and we say we're good. And he's saying, I want to do more. I want to pour out some things, new and fresh levels of intimacy and power of the Holy Spirit and friendship with God and peace and joy and faith and courage for the things that God has for you. He says, I want to deliver those things, but he says, I'm a master steward. And he says, I can give those things to you, but if you're not willing to think differently and live differently, it's gonna be wasted. He says, are you willing to build the new wineskins into your life? So here's what those wineskins represent. Patterns, mindsets, priorities, our schedules, our relationships. Are we willing to maybe run with a different crowd that's running after Jesus to experience the more that he has in store for us? Are we willing to kind of move God up the order of priority in our life? In our day-to-day life, are we willing to say yes again to maybe being in the Word of God every day or starting our day upon our knees, calling out to God, asking him for his grace and his empowerment to go and do and be and become all that God's calling us to do, be and become? Are we willing to embrace the new he's calling us to? And I'm telling you, every time in my life of faith where I've wanted to experience the more that God had in store, it's almost always called me to say yes to the new that he was calling me to. To step out and to resign from the job that we loved and appreciated and were blessed by, to prepare ourselves to be qualified and able to step into the more that God had in store. So he says, you're gonna have to go somewhere, a place that you've never been this way before. And number two, it says, when you see the ark moving, move out from your positions. And this is a call to live differently. This is a call to us today to follow Christ more closely and more fully. When you see the ark of the covenant moving, he says, move out from your positions. And it says, break camp. The people broke camp. And this is a call to get moving and to break out of those comfort zones and to break out of those places of complacency. Because can I tell you, people of God, we have a tendency to kind of settle. We get enough of God and we're good and we settle. And there's nothing wrong with taking a break, taking a pause. I said it this way the other day. Sometimes you're gonna have to stop and just catch your breath. And you made a big push. You've been through a hard season. And it's fine. The people were camped out. And it's fine to take a minute to regroup, to kind of regather ourselves, to kind of refresh ourselves. But the risk that we run is that we grow comfortable and complacent and we miss the word of God and the voice of God that is calling us to now get up and break camp and get moving to a new place, to a place where we'll experience a breakthrough. So we need to occasionally stop. I said it this way the other day. God is in your stops and your steps. And in those moments where you need to stop and catch your breath, he's there with you. But then don't miss, man of God, woman of God, the opportunity, the voice of the Lord, the moment in time where God says, okay, now it's time for you to get up and to get moving towards the thing that I have for you. It says they broke camp, they got moving. In spite of the fact that it says the Jordan was at flood stage, really, God, that's when you're going to call us to make this journey? And can I tell you, I've learned it in my life of faith. It's almost always inevitably true. When God calls us to something great, to something big, to something that's really going to make a lasting difference beyond the temporal things we can put our hands to, it's almost always going to come in a time or a season that's inconvenient, that's uncomfortable, where it stretches our faith, that it requires us to rely upon God. Not all the boxes are gonna be checked. Not all the I's are gonna be dotted. All the T's are not gonna be crossed. The pathway's not gonna be crystal clear about what we're gonna do. All we're gonna have is a word from God to get up and break camp and get going. And it says they came to the River Jordan at flood stage, which represents a season of impossibilities, which represents something that seems insurmountable or impossible, bombarded on all sides. And can I encourage you, people of God, the Bible says in the day of the coming of the Lord, it will be as it was in the days of Noah when there was a physical flood that rose up in the earth. And today, in this day and age, God gave us that rainbow as a promise that he would never flood the earth again. But there's a cultural flood of godlessness and lawlessness that we are now experiencing in this day and hour. But the good news is this. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, again, a flood of cultural decay and division, a flood of lawlessness and godlessness, people rejecting and resisting and moving away from God, the Bible says that God will raise up a standard against it. And the standard that we have is the word of God, not our own opinions or preferences or the cultural opinions or preferences of the day. And this is a moment in time where there's a cultural flood, but God is calling us. Just like in the days of Noah, he built something to preserve his righteous remnant. And in these days, he's building his church to be a place of refuge for people from a cultural flood and to be a place where there's a standard that is raised, the living word of God that's active and alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the hearts, making a difference, building firm foundations in hearts, minds, marriages, and families. If you agree, someone ought to say amen. Amen. It speaks to someone who feels like you're in a season where you're in a flood, a spiritual flood, an emotional flood, just overwhelmed. And God says in Isaiah 43, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. He's with you. Feels insurmountable, it feels impassable. He says, I'll be with you. He says, when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. But it says, when you go through, in other words, you're gonna have to keep moving. When you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep moving. And it's just what we read about. It says the river was at flood stage. But it says as soon as the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant reached the Jordan, and watch this, as soon as their feet touched the water's edge, that's when the water from upstream stopped flowing. And it speaks back to that idea of God's gonna get the glory, God's gonna bring the breakthrough, but you are going to have to take a step of faith. In spite of the way it looks in front of you, God is calling you to take a step of faith. As soon as their feet touch the water's edge, that's when God did his part, when they did their part. You know, there's a falsity that this idea that God only helps those who help themselves, you know, that is not true. I am grateful. I am a standing monument, a testimony of the fact that God helps people sometimes when we can't help ourselves. We're broken, we're lost, we're far from God, we're clueless about what to do or where to turn. He's still in the business of helping people that are in that condition. If you're grateful for that, someone say amen. But there is a truth. So God, that is untrue that God only helps those that can help themselves. But there is a truth from God's word. We are called to be doers and not just hearers of God's word. What is God calling you to do? What step is he calling you to take? In spite of the way it looks in front of you, in spite of the fact that the river of your life is at flood stage, and he's calling you saying, just trust me. Take a step of faith. I'm with you. I'm going before you. I've called you to that promised land. And if I've called you and if I'm with you and you can be assured he is with you, he is for you, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. You can afford to take a step. Do your part. And I love the idea found in Psalm 119 that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In other words, God's word is illuminating a vision, a pathway, a destiny, a place of purpose for your life. And it's also illuminating right before you the very next step that God's calling you to take. And that's really all you can be concerned about, because the pathway to that vision is daily decision, one step at a time. And so he says, they took a step into the water and the water began to pile up upstream to make a way for them where there seems to be no way. And some of you today, that's all that God is calling you to do. Would you just take a step? And you say, it seems improbable, it seems impossible, it seems insurmountable. Can I tell you, if it seems too big or too hard to start, Let me help you with something. Maybe it's because you haven't made your first step small enough. Miniaturize that next step. If it feels like you can't do it, what is just the one thing? God, I'm overwhelmed, I'm insecure, I'm burdened, I'm anxious. Just take a step. Just tomorrow, just open up God's word. Say, God, I don't have all the answers, follow this. But I know what I can do, and that's I can take a step and tomorrow, instead of going straight to socials or straight to whatever, I'm gonna be found in your word. And then don't feel like you gotta read 18 chapters of the book of Leviticus. Just find a few scriptures and just begin to allow. It's not how much you eat a lot of times, it's how much you digest. Just take a step, get with God, hit your knees, get in the Bible, read the word. Take a step of faith, make the phone call. You can't control how that's gonna go. All you can control is your part to make the phone call, to express or receive the forgiveness. Stop researching and the paralysis of analysis and register for the night classes. It's good that you've researched this and that and the other. Just come on, take a step of faith and start the side hustle that you believe God's calling you to start. To add prosperity to your family. Single people, stop asking God for the 49th confirmation and just ask her out to coffee. Take a step. And then ask God, after you've taken her out to coffee, ask God, what's my next step? Do I ask her again? Or do I delete that contact off of my phone? I'm just trying to help you. We get so consumed with all this that's out there that seems insurmountable, a river at flood stage, paralysis of analysis, fear of what might happen. God's with you. He's for you. His presence is going with you and for you. He won't leave you or forsake you. Take a step of faith. Exodus 14:15, a scripture that kind of baffles our religious thinking. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." There's a moment to pray. Come on, almost every moment. There's a moment where if you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and especially if God's given you a word, he says, come on, just act on it. Should I forgive him, God? Yes. Take the step of faith. Get moving. So the people had to get up. They had to get out of their comfort zone. They had to break out of complacency. They had to break camp and get moving. It's what God has called us to do, to live active lives of faith. Reading on, turn the page, Joshua 4, verse 1, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, in the way that only that the Lord could see them through, this the Lord of breakthroughs, making a way where there seemed to be no way, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you. Put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. And each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. And in the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you could tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of God forever. Verse 22 elaborates, says, then you could tell them when they ask, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes. He kept it dry until you were across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. So Joshua, it says, called these 12 men out of the tribes, one from each tribe. And here's what it speaks to us. There is still a unique individual calling and assignment that God has for you, man of God, for you, daughter of the Lord. And I'm telling you, part of my work, according to the book of Ephesians, is to equip you guys to do the work of ministry. We've missed the mark when we've relegated or delegated the work of ministry to a select few individuals, to preachers and elders and Sunday school teachers. You have a call of God on your life. He's still in the business of choosing and calling men and women and young people to his purposes, to a divine destiny, to a life of difference making and kingdom building, to shine the light and to be the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you the fullness, and regardless of what God calls you to do occupationally, regardless of where he establishes you geographically, the life, the fullness of life that God has in his heart for you can only be found completely and fully through a life that is serving the Lord Jesus Christ and is being a blessing to the people that God has placed in your life. It's just true. Whatever it is God has called you to do, dedicate it to the glory of God and to the good of the people that God has put in your life. So it says he called these people together. Wait a minute, I was about to move on. I just can't move on. There's even a few of you that are in this room, and there's a ministerial call on your life. There's an occupational ministerial call upon your life. And you've resisted it, and you've argued with God, and you've reasoned with God. And this is a moment in time with God that God is calling you. He's reminding you. You know who you are, too. There's a call of a ministry on your life. And he's saying, will you say yes? I'm gracing you in this moment to overcome the fear of what people will think, of what you'll miss maybe by saying yes to the call of God. Can I tell you? When you say yes to the call of God, when you're in step with him, there's no better place to be. And he's still in the business of setting people apart, choosing people, and calling people for his glory and for his purposes. Someone say amen. So he chose these individuals, but then it says the 12 individuals that he called uniquely and individually because of their unique talents and gifts and leadership, it says he called those 12 together. And he called them together because, can I tell you, church, we are better together. And there was never intended to be lone rangers in God's kingdom. We are called to be part of a fabric, part of a body, part of a family. We're better together. The one stone that I carry out of the river is just a rock on the beach. But when we link arms, when we unite together, when you take your stone, your testimony that God has built in your life, and we begin to unite together and work together and build a monument for the Lord together, what was one stone on the beach begins to be a monument and a testament to God's faithfulness in and through us. Someone say amen. We're better together. It's why we do life groups. Come on, get involved in a life group. This semester, it's why we have serve teams for you to come and not just go to church, but to serve and build the kingdom of God in the house of God. He called those unique individuals, but then he said, come on, we're gonna come together and build something for the glory of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, as you come to him, the living stone, speaking of Jesus, who was rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he says, this building right here is not the church. This is the place where the church meets to worship together, to be equipped in God's word, to be strengthened, to be sent out outside the walls of this building, to be the hands and feet and to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm building something, a spiritual house. And he says, you're living stones. And he says, I'm inviting you to be part of what I'm building. And some of you haven't really seen it that way. But you need to know that today God's calling you to be a living stone in this thing, this church that God is building as a testament of his faithfulness, as a monument of his goodness, and we're better together. Exodus chapter 20, I love this. And it baffles our religious thinking. We would think that God would say it differently according to the ways of religion, right? But how many know that that's not what God is about? He's about relationship and he's about people, imperfect people, unqualified people being ordained, being sanctified, being consecrated for his purposes. In Exodus 20, 25, we read about this. It says, if you use stones to build my altar, and remember the context, you're living stones. We are living stones that God is using to build his church. And he says, if you use stones to build my altar, use only natural uncut stones. Do not shape the stones with a tool, for that would make the altar unfit for holy use. I love that God is building his church. He's building a memorial, a monument out of uncut, natural, imperfect stones, not bricks. And you would think that God would say, if you build something for me, buddy, you better use perfect, polished, shapely, uniform things. Wouldn't you think? Isn't that what the spirit of religion would say? If we're building something for God, come on, it's got to be perfectly polished and just right, and it's got to be uniform so that it stacks up perfectly and symmetrically. And God says, no. He says, you build something for me, you use uncut, natural, raw stones with some rough edges, with some different backgrounds that have come out of some different places that have been mined out of the earth in some different ways and some different fashions. He says, you build something for me, that's what you're gonna use. And it speaks to the reality that today you're a living stone and God is building his church, and he's still inviting imperfect people. He's still inviting people who have some rough edges, but who are willing to come and say, but I'm submitting my life to God. I'm committing my life to God. And I am deciding to be a part of what God is doing in the earth today, building his church as a monument of his goodness and faithfulness. Come on, who's grateful that God is still using imperfect people? You say, I'm a little rough around the edges and you don't know where I've been, where God's mined me out of. Can I tell you, that's just right. There's a spot in the church that God is building with living stones that looks just like you. We're better together. We're better together. And in this day, in this hour, some of us, the breakthrough that we're gonna experience is maybe going beyond occasional or casual church attendance to becoming invested. Come on, get in a life group, get in a serve team, make a difference, be a part, link arms. Help us to build what God is building in this day, in this hour. We're better together. It says the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took those stones from the middle, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night, and they constructed the memorial there. But watch this, catch this, hear this, verse 9. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And those stones are there to this day. So there were two monuments. There were two memorials that the Lord asked the people to build. One that would go ahead and with them to a future place that they were called to, and another that would stay behind in the middle of that river to be covered up by those waters that would once again rise and once again at some future day be a flood stage. And can I tell you, the same thing is true for us. One of the hallmarks of spiritual maturity and one of the things that perhaps most determines whether or not you're going to make it through and make it to the place that God has for you is determining what is God calling you today to leave behind? And what is he calling you to fiercely hold on to and take with you? And I don't know about you, but I have a tendency in my flesh to get this wrong. I have a tendency to kind of be pretty quick to forget all the ways God has come through for me over the years. Those moments in time where I didn't know where to turn, what to do, or where to go, and I didn't think I was gonna make it. And I tend to forget all the ways that God preserved me, delivered me, healed me, but I tend to remember all the disappointments, the heartaches, the pain, the rejection. And can I tell you today, there were two monuments, there were two memorials, one that was to stay behind, and today what's God inviting you, calling you to leave behind, to once again be washed away, covered by the water, the cleansing water of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? And what is he calling you to fiercely hold on to and to take forward with you? Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Psalm 103, verse 1, let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things he does for me. But the Apostle Paul, He said, I haven't attained it. I haven't apprehended. He said, I'm still working some things out in this life of faith, in this relationship with Christ. But he says, I do focus on one thing. What's the one thing? Forgetting the past and moving forward. And today, so many of us are carrying the rocks that God intended for us to leave behind in that river. And today's the invitation in an atmosphere of grace to just once again just say, Lord, I'm sorry for carrying the shame, the sin, the insecurity, the fear. And today to say, Lord, I'll do what your word calls me to do. I'll cast it before you. I'll leave it at the foot of the cross. And I'll pick up and I'll carry with me in the place of that weight, of that burden that I've been carrying unnecessarily. Now I'll pick up the testimony, the memory, the memorial of the ways that you have seen me out of some things, seen me through some storms, delivered me from the pit of despair or anxiety or depression or addiction. I'm gonna hang on to those things, and I'm not gonna quickly forget the deeds of the Lord, the wondrous works of God. I will remember, I will testify, and when I make it to the other side and people say, how'd you get here? I'll say, because God saw me through, because he's the God of the breakthrough. Someone say amen. When we build a memorial to God, I mean, come on, let's not forget. We got some stuff, we got some challenges, we got some giants, there's some mountains, yes, but don't forget all the ways that God has already seen you through. Build a memorial, build a memory, take a note, have a family meeting, worship God, do something to just memorialize that moment. In the Old Testament, they were really good about it. They would literally build something, and when they would walk by or pass by that, they would say, remember that? Remember when God saw us through? And in these days, in modern times, we're not so good about remembering. Do what you gotta do. Write it down, write it on your heart. Start a book of testimonies and prophecies fulfilled over your life. And when you get in a ditch or have a dark day, go back and just say, ah, I forgot. God did this, God did this, God did this. The same God that delivered us out of the Red Sea is the same God who's gonna see us across this river at flood stage today. One thing I do, forgetting the past, moving on to the future, to the calling, to the race, to the high mark, to the prize of God. Building a memorial to God, committing to remain grateful and mindful of the ways that God has moved in our life. It does four things. It increases our faith. It increases the faith of others. It keeps us centered and focused on God. We remember, man, I've got the scars, but those are reminders of the way God preserved me, healed me, helped me, delivered me in that moment that the enemy tried to kill me, steal from me, take me out, take me down. We build a memorial to God, it silences the voice of the enemy. The enemy comes at us with his lies of deception and insecurity and lies against God and his character and his nature. When we have that memorial, when we have that monument, when we have that memory, it allows us to say, no, that's not who God is. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the God who's delivered me. It says, take those stones from the middle. I'll close right here. I don't know that those stones were any better or different than the stones that were on the bank. I know for sure it would have been harder to haul the stones out of the depths of the river, the middle of the river. I just think it's just God just saying, I want you to build it with the stones that you experienced in the deepest place, in the darkest place, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm. Some of you, that's where you are today. In your marriage, in your heart, in your mind, your finances, your health, you're in the middle. The cancer battle, you're in the middle of the strife or the whatever. And I'm telling you today that God is with you in the middle. And if you'll turn to him, if you'll look to him, if you'll put your trust and your faith in him, if you'll do like David did back to the start, inquire of the Lord, whatever he says, if you'll just do it, he'll see you out of the middle, and then he'll call you and allow you to take the very stones upon which the enemy intended for you to be drowned. And he'll build a monument and a memorial of his goodness and his faithfulness that will bolster your faith and the faith of future generations. Would you stand to your feet today? And would you ask the Holy Spirit, as has become the custom in our house as we stand, would you ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me? And would you not ask it rhetorically, but would you ask it sincerely today? And then would you do what a sincere request of God would require of us, and that's to actually listen? To just quiet our soul and turn our spiritual ears towards heaven and just listen. What are you speaking to me, Lord? What are you reminding me of? What are you revealing to me? What are you doing in me? What are you calling me to? What are you convicting me of? For some of us, he's calling us out of those places of comfort or complacency to get up, to break camp, to get moving, to take a step of faith in spite of the way it looks, improbable, impossible. Just trust him. Take a step. Just watch what he does. Just continue to ask him. There's two other things I want to do today, and one is to pray for anyone who needs a breakthrough in your life. And for some of you, it might even seem insignificant or inconsequential, but there's nothing too big or small for God. And so for some of you, it might seem insignificant or unimportant, but it's something you've been trusting for, praying for, hoping for. And today I believe that the Lord in this season, in this hour, in this moment wants to bring about some breakthroughs. He's the God of breakthroughs. But for some of you, maybe there's some significant things. I mean, there's the cancer battle, there's the bankruptcy, there's the marriage on the brink. And you need a breakthrough today. You need God to move. And you need God to show up. And the condition of your life or that situation or chapter of your life is it's at flood stage, man. I mean, it feels overwhelming and insurmountable. Today, I really believe this, that God wants to be the Lord of the breakthrough. He wants to bring about breakthroughs today in this moment as we gather in faith. Where two or three are gathered together, he is there. Where two or three agree on anything, it shall be done. And so come on, can we believe together that he's still the Lord of breakthroughs and that he desires today to bring breakthroughs in health conditions, in financial conditions, in marital conditions, in financial situations and circumstances. So if that's you today, I want you to take a step, a reach out to God. I want you to lift that thing, hold your hands out before the Lord right here. Whatever that thing is, big or small, just take a step of faith to just lift your hands before the Lord, to present that circumstance or situation before the Lord. And to also in the same moment, in the same movement, to just posture yourself to receive the grace, the healing, the freedom, the faith, the courage, the strength that God desires to bring to you today to bring breakthrough. Lord, I declare, I speak, I prophesy, Lord, over every person, every situation, every season, every chapter, Lord, that, Lord, you would bring breakthrough today. You are still a God who is making a way where there seems to be no way. You are still a God, Lord, who is leading people through the Red Sea. You are still a God who is bringing about breakthrough healings, God, today, Lord, physical healings, Lord, emotional and spiritual freedom and healing from bondage and addiction, Lord, relational healings, Lord, marriages restored, or today set on the pathway to restoration. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you're still the Lord of breakthroughs. You're still making a way. You're still doing miracles. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And now as you just continue to stay in that posture, let me have one moment to give people the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of their life, to receive the free gift of salvation. That's the language that the Bible uses. It's a free gift. Here's what that means. You can't earn it or deserve it. You just receive it. And so if that's you, or maybe you're here today or joining us online and you maybe once loved and even served God, but today if you're honest with yourself, you're far from God. For whatever reason, swept up with the wrong crowd, made some bad decisions, got caught up with the cares and concerns of this world, today you're far from him. If that's you today, Jesus told a parable, which is just a story about someone like you, when he told the story of the prodigal son, the wayward one, that went to his earthly father and said, "Give me what's mine." And he went out in the world and he lived according to the ways of the world, and like is inevitably true for anyone who tries to live that way. He finds himself at the end of himself, the end of his funds, the end of his so-called friends. And Jesus continues to tell the story. Here's what he says. He says, that wayward one came to his senses. Here's what that sounds like. What am I doing out here? And he said, maybe, just maybe, I could go home to my good father, and maybe, just maybe, my father will welcome me home, even if just as a servant in his house. And it says he got up and he began that journey. And as he began that journey, while he was a long ways off, that's what the Bible says. It says the father saw him. Why is that important? Because here's what Jesus was trying to help us to see, is that even when we're far from God, God is still looking for, longing for, hoping for, eagerly anticipating, expecting that moment where we just take one step back towards him. And the story concludes like this. The father runs to the edge of the property, embraces, receives, and restores that wayward one fully as a son or a daughter, not to settle for just restoring him as a servant. And so if that's you today, far from God, that's the posture of the father towards you today. Arms wide open. There might be some stuff to sort out. But today, all he cares about is you being restored back into relationship with him. So here's the step I want to ask you to take if you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between in this holy moment right now to respond as an outward sign of the inward work that God's doing in your heart. Would you lift your hand as high and as fast as you can towards heaven? You're not responding to a person. You're not responding to a preacher. This is just a way to say, God, that's me. I need the free gift. God, that's me. I need to come back home. I'm coming to my senses. I'm done trying to live my own way or the ways of the world. I'm burdened by what that has resulted in my life. And today I'm receiving your invitation to come back into your loving arms, to be washed clean, to be made whole, to be made right, to be restored back to relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for all these hands and what they represent, Lord, sons and daughters coming home. Pasts being forgiven. Hearts being healed. Sins being washed away. If you raised your hand, you can lower it. And we're going to ask you to take a second step. It's not a bait and switch. It's just an important second step of obedience. We're going to ask you to pray a prayer. But we're gonna pray it with you. You're not gonna have to pray it alone. You're gonna hear the sound of this entire church family praying it as a sign of support to you and as a reminder to ourselves that we never graduate from grace. So come on, let's pray this prayer. Pray it boldly today. Come on, say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life, I give you my trust, and because of Jesus, come on, say it loudly, I'll never be the same, and then rejoice with all of heaven. Come on, let's worship the Lord one more time, then we'll come and dismiss you.